Well, we have been advertising this day for some time now, and I'm personally thrilled that it's finally arrived. God in his goodness has allowed our brother to travel halfway across the earth and be with us. He has a series of meetings lined up, and we want to be sure to pray for the success of those meetings, but we're glad we have him right here. I shared this with him the other night, one of the great disappointments of my life, especially as a minister, was that not once but twice I was unable to visit Ghana. I had strongly wanted the desire to go there. God was gracious enough to let me go to other parts of the earth, but for some reason he didn't want me there, especially with that wicked COVID thing and the illegal restrictions that were put on us. But anyway, we are glad that he's here. And without any further ado, he's no stranger to any of us. We've been supporting him forever, long before I think I was even here. You had taken him on, and we intend to continue to do that. One of the great missionaries in the world today, and one of my favorite preachers. Glad to have him with us. Brother George. Dapa.
Thank you. I thank God for the opportunity to be here with you today. And I want to thank you for your prayers and support over the years. I want to invite you to come tonight so that I could show you in a short video some of the things that the Lord has used you and us to accomplish and what more lies ahead for us to do. But thank you so much. I bring you greetings from my wife. This trip is crisscrossing. I went to California. I'm here in Washington. I'll go to Montana, then to Michigan. There's a lot of flying, a lot of traveling. And so she could not make it. But we talk every day because of WhatsApp. Internet, we are able to speak every day, sometimes even with video, so we see each other. And I'm sure they are also praying for us. So I thank God. Thank you for your support. I trust this morning as I bring God's word, it will minister grace to our hearts so that the Lord will use us in our time to bring honor and glory to his name. I'm speaking from Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, the first three verses. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Pastor, you see, I paused because of technology. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, they were very many in the open, in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Father, we thank you for this morning. I pray that you would encourage our hearts from your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will apply your word to us individually so that it will accomplish its purpose in each of our lives. Lift up your countenance upon us to bless this service. We count upon your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes, as individuals, families, or a church, We are confronted with perplexing situations. Sometimes we are confronted with issues that look hopeless. Sometimes we are confronted with things that bring confusion to us because we don't just understand what is going on. One such case is what we are reading here. Ezekiel says, "The hand of the Lord was upon him, and he carried him in the spirit and set him down in the midst of a valley full of bones." He was standing in a place where everything around him was desperation, hopelessness, lifelessness. And then the question came to him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" He describes the bones as being very many, and he said they were very dry. And God was asking him, "Can these bones live?" Now, humanly speaking, the answer should be no. But who is asking the question? God. And God can do anything. So I don't know whether he wants these bones to live or not. So he said, "Lord God, thou knowest." Lord, you are the only one who knows whether these bones can come back to life or not. Many times when we are faced with situations like that, and the question comes, will this family survive? And we look at all the circumstances, and many have answered no. The church is going through a very traumatic time, and the question keeps coming, will this church survive? Can we continue? We look at all the things around and say, no, we can't. That's the wrong answer. Ezekiel said, "Lord, thou knowest." This morning, the question I want us to answer is, what does God know? Well, we can answer that question, can't we? We can answer and say, God knows everything, and we close. But I want us to look at some specifics this morning. What does God know? Number one, I want you to take note that God always knows why. And because God knows why, God's people must always trust him. Now, Ezekiel did not know why God carried him into that valley, standing in the midst of hopelessness, lifelessness, despair. He didn't know why God took him, but God has a reason for taking him there. And you may be going through something right now you do not understand. Sometimes you are even doubting whether God is with you. God was with him. The hand of the Lord was upon him. It was God who carried him in the spirit to that place. So you may think God has forsaken. He has never forsaken anybody. He neither forsakes his children. So whatever you are going through, take comfort that you are dealing with a God who knows why. And you can trust him. He may not tell you the reason now, but as you continue trusting him, he will eventually let you know why. But right now, it is enough to know that what I'm going through, God knows. And he knows why he's allowing me to go through that. What this country is going through, God knows. He knows why he's allowing the country to go through it. What your family is going through, God knows. And he knows why he's allowing to go through that. You can trust him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Lord, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm here. But Lord, you know everything. Take note that he always knows why. Number two, take note, God always knows what. He knows what. God knows what is wrong. And God knows what must be done to fix what is wrong. And God took him there. God knew what was there. He took him there. And God knew what he must do to answer the question he was putting to Ezekiel. But now it is time for Ezekiel to listen to God. Always, we must be ready to listen to him. When we are faced with situations we don't understand, we are perplexed, we are confused, pay attention. God is seeking your attention. Listen to him. So how do I listen to God? Well, he said in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but that you would meditate upon it day and night and observe to do according to all that is written therein. God is speaking to us through his word. In so doing, you will make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. If you listen to God and know what he's requiring of you and obey, God will show you that dead bones can come back to life. You don't throw your hands in the air and give up. Listen to God. So your family life is on fire. What is God asking husbands to do? Say, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. But the man said, God, you don't know my wife. You don't know the kind of woman I am married to. It is difficult to love her. It is difficult to love you. But God still loves you. You know? Then God tells the woman, submit yourselves unto your own husband. Say, God, this man, if I submit to him, I'm dead. He is impossible. So here we are. We have a problem. The one who can solve it for us is God, but we are arguing with him. If you keep arguing with God, the problem is not solved. The confusion continues. And eventually things are going to fall apart. Thank God, this man Ezekiel was ready to listen to God. And what did God tell him to do? God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the dead bones. Verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring out flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. What did he do? He said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Amen. God said, prophesy to the bones. He said, well, I just listened and I did what God was asking me to do. He said, dead bones, God says he's going to bring you to life. Now, suppose you were walking in a field and you saw a man, you know, standing there with bones, and then the man will be talking to the bones. Bones, what would you think of him? Picture it. It's not that simple. Ezekiel was standing in this big valley filled with dead man's bones, very dry, and he was talking to the bones. You say, that man is crazy. But do you know we are also asked to do the same thing? The Bible says men are dead in sins and trespasses. And what does he want us to do? He wants us to speak to these dead men in sins and trespasses. And sometimes some of the people, the appearance alone scares us. this man, he won't listen. He won't pay attention to me. Ezekiel didn't care. All he cared was that God says, prophesy to the bones. And so he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. So we may come to a point when we think the people in this community will not hear the gospel. They won't listen to us. But the Bible says, prophesy to them. Whether they will hear or not, your duty is prophesy to them. Give the gospel to them. The Bible says the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. There is power in the gospel. And no matter how hardened people are, if you give them the opportunity to hear the gospel, you can never say what God will do. He spoke to the dead bones. Crazy as that might seem. Sometimes some of the things God is asking you to do, you will think it's crazy. But if that is what God wants, that is the best chance you have to solving that problem. He prophesied. So God knows why. He also knows what. He knows what is wrong. He knows what must be done. But you must listen to him and see what he would have you, what role he would have you to play in that situation. Whether it is family, whether it is personal, whether it is church, the principle is the same. Listen to God. Pay attention to God. And be ready to follow the instructions God is giving. Number three, God always knows how. You know, Ezekiel was told to tell the bones. God says he will bring you back to life. How? I don't know. He knows how. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And then God started moving. He said there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. Ah, it would be interesting to be there. You talk to dry bones, then they start moving. Huh? You'll be standing here, somebody's head is coming. You have to jump and give it way. And it was forming. Soon he found that the bones are all lined up. And the flesh started coming. And within a short time, he was not more standing in the midst of dead men's bones, but he was standing in a morgue. He was standing in the midst of dead people. Wow. How did God do that? He doesn't know. But all he knew was that God always knows how. Because God knows how, we, his children, learn to depend upon him. Amen. The Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen. After you have done your portion, leave the results in the hands of God. Yes. God says, love. I'm loving. Even though my wife doesn't deserve it, I will still love her. Leave the results in the hands of God. God says, submit. Well, for your sake, Lord, for your sake, I will submit. But God will work things out in that family. And in your life, if you are arguing with God, that is your problem.
Yes.
Learn to listen to him. Learn to do your portion. Leave the results in God's hands. Yes. This is a church. We must grow. In fact, we must work hard so that as we face out, others will replace us. You say, but we knock on the doors and the attendants keep knocking on those doors. Keep telling people Jesus is alive, Jesus saves, Jesus is coming again. We must keep telling them. The result, we leave it in his hands. He always knows how. And I've seen myself knocking on doors. People are not minding me. Later on, others have gone. Those same people I spoke to who didn't want to come, I'll go to church, and there they are. Paul plants, Apollos waters, God brings the increase. And the Bible still says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, circle doubtless in your Bible, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. So I don't believe that any community is too difficult for that community to be rich. So long as God has placed his people there, it is possible to reach that community. You do your portion, you leave the rest in the hands of God. So, now Ezekiel stood, and no more bones, dry bones, but dead men. Lord, what next? What next? I'm standing here in the midst of corpses. And there are corpses everywhere. Lord, what next? And God said, speak to the wind. Wind? Yes. Speak to the wind. Prophesy to the wind. Call upon the wind. From the four corners, tell the wind. The Lord says, come. Put breath in the life of all these dead people. So the man went crazy. Hey, wind, thus saith the Lord. When you go out witnessing, when you go out talking to people, some of the people, they will look at you and say, you are crazy. You don't know we are in the 21st century, America, and you are coming here knocking at my door? You are crazy. Do the crazy thing. God has commanded you to do what men will call you crazy. Do it anyway. Say, preach the word in season and out of season. When people want to hear it, preach it. When they don't want to hear it, preach it. When you are not feeling like doing it, preach it. It is a command. And as you do it, you will see God move. So this man is standing there. God is telling him to do things that are unthinkable. And he does it. And he said, behold, there stood in front of him an army ready to take command. Amen. He said, when I beheld, verse 8, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. There's one promise the Lord gave to his church. He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That is Christ's promise to his church. And I believe the church will exist until the day that trumpet will sound. And the church is not going to be defeated. The church is going to continue to grow. Yes. There's going to be hard times in the world, but the Lord's church will be there when the trumpet sounds. But we, who are members of the church, in our generation, must listen to our God and play our role to the best of our ability. Because with him, all things are possible. You know what God will do? When you start knocking on doors, telling people about Christ, and they keep driving you away, you know what God can do? God will remove all those people. He will take them out, remove them, replace them with those who are seeking. He's able. He will keep his church alive. But his people must pay attention and listen to him, depend upon him, and just do what he's asking us to do. This man had an army. And then, after that, the Lord started explaining to him why he took him there. Look at verse 11. Then said he unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried.
Our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. What does the Lord know? He knows why. He knows what. He knows how. And finally, this morning, he knows when. Because God always knows when. God's people must learn to wait upon him. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now, Ezekiel was being told that Israel, which was then in exile, scattered all over. Say, God was saying, I'll bring them back to the land. They were saying, we are finished. We are cut off. We are hopeless. Our God has forsaken us. God was saying, tell them that I'll bring them back to this land. No matter where they've been scattered to, they will be brought back. Was God able to fulfill this promise? He did. You know, they were in exile for 70 years. And after that, God used people who did not know him. Cyrus. Cyrus gave command. Those who came from Jerusalem, who worshiped the God of heaven, they can go back to their land and build. They were allowed to go back. In fact, when Christ was born, Israel was back in its land. Of course, they were still under Roman domination. Then, after Christ's ascension, somewhere AD 70, one of the emperors got angry with them, and they went and ransacked Jerusalem, and they scattered them again, and the nation ceased to exist. And so, there had been World War I, League of Nations was formed. On the map, there was no Israel. The Romans had named that area Palestine. They were fed up with these Jews. They would not conform to anything because they worship the one true God. So they got rid of them. AD 70. So from that AD 70 to 1900, you were reading this passage, what would you think? You look at it, say, this is one prophecy which is never going to be fulfilled. Why? Because the map of the world is already drawn. Who is going to cede his land for Israel to be born? It's no more on the map. Then World War I. Then World War II. Then crazy man gets up and he gets angry about the Jews. Why? This bank, who owns it? A Jew. That invention, who did it? A Jew. Who owns that supermarket? A Jew. Who owns that bakery? A Jew. What? Who are these Jews? They are taking over everything. Let's get rid of them. He succeeded in murdering 6 million Jews. But then there was a world outcry. Who are these people? Where did they come from? Oh, somebody said, well, they used to be in the land of Palestine. Why don't they go back? A small country called United Kingdom at that time held protectorate over the land of Palestine. And They didn't want to offend the Arabs. So they were unwilling, you know, to allow. But the pressure from all over the world was so strong. And some of the Jews started actually moving in there and buying the land from the Arabs who had occupied the place. And gradually, the population was increasing, and it was increasing. They were willing to sell their land. Well, after all, these are desert places. What can they do with it? Let's give it to them. They sold it out to them. 1948, the nation of Israel is reborn. God always knows when. The when is in his hand. He controls the future. So, child of God, you can faithfully wait upon the Lord. He's never too early. He's never too late. And I believe that this promise will remain fulfilled until thy kingdom come. If the Arabs succeed in throwing them out, God will still find a way to fulfill his word. He said, no matter where they are, in whatever graves they are, he will bring them back. And they will reoccupy that land, and they will come to know that he is their Lord. Whatever you are going through now, as an individual, as a family, as a church, God is the one who has put you there. He knows why you are going through that. Trust him. He knows what must be done. Listen to him. He knows how to get it done. Depend upon him. He knows when. Therefore, God's child, wait upon him. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And if you are following these principles with God, no matter what situation you find yourself in, you are going to be a victorious Christian. You are going to be a victorious family. You are going to be a victorious church. Because the destiny of everything is in the hands of Almighty God. May God help us to be victorious in our time so that we also have a story to tell the next generation. If you are here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, he is the answer to all the problems that we are dealing with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I appeal to you today, if you don't know him, to give him your life. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. God bless you.